It never became a star on the American flag, and it may never get there, but the idea of a state of Jefferson still burns brightly in the hearts of at least a few people in our region. Jefferson is an easy handle for the region where Oregon and California meet, far from both state capitals. We obviously use it ourselves here at Jefferson Public Radio and on the Jefferson Exchange. But the cute story of the upstart region sometimes turns a bit harder toward talk of true secession. These are among the components anybody studying the region faces. Oregon Public Broadcasting recently completed a TV documentary on the state of Jefferson for its Oregon Experience series. Cammie Horton is the producer of the program and our guest in the studio. Cammie, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a bit about Oregon Experience itself and the general confines of the show and what you do with it.
Well, we've been doing it for about 9 years, and it's documentaries about the people, the places, and the events of Oregon's history. And we have about 50 documentaries that are all available online, and we really try to cover every part of the state and just all kinds of different stories about Oregon's history, from the big things like Tom McCall to just littler stories.
How often do you produce new episodes?
We do between 5 and 7 a year, just depending on how long they are.
Which gives you a fair amount of time to actually get into research and pull together images and all the other things you need for a television documentary.
That's right. Anywhere from about 4 to 6 months, depending on what the story is.
Wow. That's a bit of a luxury for somebody who used to be involved in daily journalism. I should point out, Cammie Horton did once work as a TV reporter for the CBS affiliate in Medford.
That's right. And it's such a luxury to really be able to dig into those stories and to find so many fun nuggets. I really enjoy it.
We certainly can't argue about the interest in the state of Jefferson. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't be bearing the name if we didn't find it at least cute or something. But so what brings people from outside the state of Jefferson region, though, to get interested in what goes on within it?
That idea of the urban-rural divide is something that all of Oregon kind of struggles with and has for years and years. And I think it's something that lots of people think about. And certainly down here, it's something that's really felt. And being from the area originally, I grew up in Klamath County and lived over here in the Rogue Valley for 10 years. And so I certainly have I know that idea of what the state of Jefferson is. And I think maybe in the northern part of the state, they may not have a good sense of what that is. So it was great to be able to do this piece and give some of the history of what the state of Jefferson and that idea of a separate secessionist kind of movement was all about, but then also just the idea of the state of mind of Jefferson.
Do you get a fair number of blank looks when you say, or we did a piece on the state of Jefferson, when you're talking to people, for example, in the metro area, in the Willamette Valley?
Well, I think even up there, people have heard of that and are familiar with that, but really had no idea what it means. And when as I started researching, I realized, I thought I knew what it was about, but I realized I really didn't. There is a lot of history there and also a lot of mythology and a lot of stories and tall tales.
What were some of the surprises? What were some of the things that you ran across that made you go, oh, wait, I never heard this part before?
Well, some of it is that an idea of a secessionist movement goes back to 1852, before Oregon was even a state, that there were efforts to create a whole different territory that actually would have been a Confederate territory. And then also that in 1941, the state of Jefferson movement that is most famous with the roadblocks and everything like that really was staged, that there were some real thoughts behind it for sure. But there was a reporter that came up from the San Francisco Chronicle that really helped to stage that and to make it a really newsworthy kind of event.
Just because it made good newspaper copy?
Absolutely. And he went on to win a Pulitzer Prize.
Did he really, for his coverage of the state of Jefferson?
Yes, he did.
Wow. And who was that?
That was Stanton Delaplane, who is credited with inventing or bringing Irish coffee to the United States. And he was known for kind of he was a travel writer, among many other things. And so he was known for sometimes kind of exaggerating his stories. And I found a wonderful oral history where he talks about how he kind of took control of the secessionist movement in Southern Oregon and Northern California.
Took control in the sense of engineered it a bit to make it look more interesting for purposes of drumming it up?
Absolutely. He wrote the Proclamation of Independence that was handed out to motorists as they went by. Now, of course, there really was a lot of interest in the area, and it continued after 1941, but he was kind of the person that came up and said, let's get a lot of publicity for this.
Obviously, you could have spent pretty much the whole piece talking about just Stanton Delaplane and that effort in 1941, and we'll talk in a minute about what seemed to be the undoing of that. So how do you decide not to focus on just that, and where did you put the general focus on it?
It was tough, because it's a state of mind, or it's the mythical state of Jefferson. And I wanted to talk about that, of it being a regional identity, but then try to find where its roots were and to just to look at the facts and look at the history. And so I went right back to the beginning when the states were first formed and where those ideas first came from of breaking away, because that was always an idea. We are so far away from our state capital, and California is so far away from their state capital, that the people here in this area have felt for a long time that maybe they should join together. So I just tried to start at the beginning and work all the way up. And I touch a little bit on what's going on now, but mostly just to say that there is still that interest, and people are still talking about the state of Jefferson.
Cami Horton is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a producer for the Oregon Experience on Oregon Public Broadcasting, which recently completed a TV documentary on the state of Jefferson. Oregon Experience, State of Jefferson, starting Monday, is that right?
Monday, November 17th at 9 p.m. on Oregon Public Broadcasting and Southern Oregon Public Television.
With some showings we'll talk about in just a bit. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange, share your stories of the state of Jefferson or your thoughts about what the rest of the world might think about the state of Jefferson idea. 800-838-3760 across the listening area, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Check us out on Facebook. Cami's picture is probably sitting there looking back at you at this point. Having been a resident of the area, having grown up in Klamath County and spent 10 years in the Rogue Valley, I mean, did you have some sources that you could easily go to yourself to get started on this?
Yeah, I think so. I certainly have worked with people down here and know some of the historians down here. And then there's some wonderful books that have recently been published. And I always, you know, kind of cheat and go to the experts first because they've done all of the research.
Sure.
And just talking to them and finding out the information that they've already done. And so, yeah, of course, there's lots of people here in the area that are experts and amateur experts, and also just want to share their views.
Peter Laufer was probably a big help. He's
that's right.
He's a professor of journalism at the University of Oregon and has written a book about the state of Jefferson. It's an interesting little cycle because he was on the show here talking about the efforts to make his book. He wrote about being on the show in his book. You interviewed me for the Oregon Experience TV thing. I'm interviewing you back now about putting it all together. So it's kind of a little cycle here.
It's all very cozy.
Yes. But Peter has really, I mean, some of his stories were I found rather surprising. People who really, really, really feel like they really, really, really want to make the state of Jefferson a real thing.
That's true. And I think that's definitely in Northern California much more so than in Southern Oregon. They're dealing with some different kinds of issues down there, and there are people that definitely want to create their own state. And just recently, you know, they were wanting to create their own republic. It's become much more talked about down there, and there is definitely a State of Jefferson movement, but it's very different than the State of Jefferson movement of 1941, which kind of gave us that original Jefferson name.
Had it been called other things up before that time?
Yeah, actually it had. In 1852, it was actually going to be a Jackson Territory, and there has been efforts to make a state of Klamath, a state of Shasta. In 1941, when they came up with the state of Jefferson, that actually came about because of a contest. The people that were first proposing it came up with the name Middle Westcostia. So they thought that Jefferson would be a better name.
There were lots. We had an author on several years ago talking about lost states, and Jefferson was just one of them. But
right.
Ideas where people did want to carve little chunks of things out of the country. And, you know, up in the Appalachians in North Carolina and Virginia, they wanted to have the state of Franklin, even before the Constitution was ratified. So it's not unique to this region. I don't know if you touch on that in the piece as well.
Not really, just because I've only had 29 minutes to put everything together. But certainly, borders are much more fluid than we really realize. I mean, they really have only been in place for 150 years or so. But California, you know, is huge. And from the beginning, there were discussions about breaking it up into other states. And those discussions continue now. And Oregon Country that went all the way up into British Columbia at one point, and then Oregon Territory that went all the way out into Montana. So certainly there have been a lot of discussions about breaking up different states and different territories and areas and making different kinds of borders.
So 29 minutes, it's such a rich trove of material, as you pointed out, going back to even before statehood or
right.
Around the time of statehood anyway. How much trouble was it to reduce all this? I mean, you probably had hours and hours and hours of interviews and footage to work with.
I did. Actually interviewed 13 different people with a wide variety of views from all over the Jefferson region. We ended up traveling 1,500 miles talking to people. Yes, there is always a lot of material. And what I always try to do is just give an overview and let it be a background for people so that if they're interested, then they can go and find more information themselves. And then on our website, we always include more information, more resources and places that you can find more information. But it's always kill your darlings, because there's always great stories that we absolutely cannot include. And it's always heartbreaking. You know, what are we going to include and what are we not going to include? But you just have to figure out a way to make it work.
Does it get to the point you're whittling everybody down and finally have to say, okay, one of these people has to go so the other ones can expand again?
Yeah, there definitely is that. There are, you know, sometimes just great anecdotes that people talk about that you really want to include, but it just doesn't forward the story, so you have to cut it out.
Now, we were talking about the 1941 version of this, which was the actual use of the term State of Jefferson. I believe the double cross flag
That's
dates
right.
from that time as well.
Uh-huh.
It's not two X's, it's a double cross in a pan of gold, I guess. Is that what the Jefferson flag is?
That's right.
How serious did that really get? I mean, we just talked about a lot of it was staged with the assistance of Stanton Delaplane. The general story that is told often word of mouth in the state of Jefferson is that if Pearl Harbor hadn't come along, hey, who knows what might have happened?
Well, yeah, that's what people say, and I guess who knows what would have happened. But they certainly were unhappy with not having the resources that they wanted. Most of the roads in the area were gravel or dirt. It was very difficult to get in and out of the areas. You see some of the pictures, and it's just amazing to think that, you know, people were traveling on this and trying to do logging and mineral extraction out of that. And so they definitely wanted those resources, and they wanted to get attention for that. As to whether or not they would have actually been a real state, you know, who knows if that would have happened. And it never really got very official. There were a lot of people that were interested and involved, but there, in terms of electing a governor, that wasn't an official act. That was just something that they kind of did. You know, I've heard people say, well, they had written up a constitution and they were ready to make it happen. And that really isn't the case. Maybe it would have gotten there, but it didn't by 1941.
Cammie Horton, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll keep her here for a few more minutes talking about the Oregon Experience, State of Jefferson, airing on OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting TV, and on Southern Oregon Public TV on Monday. We'll talk about the screenings tonight and the ones you've had already in just a moment. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange now to talk about the State of Jefferson idea. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org or check us out on Facebook as well. So there is this balance I find over the years between this romantic sort of, oh yeah, it's kind of cute, we call ourselves the State of Jefferson here and we call ourselves Jefferson Public Radio, etc., versus the people who really do take it seriously, really would like to see something broken away from Oregon and maybe even more so from California. Mm-hmm. Did you get a sense of whether there's any sort of balance in that or is it just really where in the region you go?
Yeah, that is very true, because the people, you know, in Ashland are going to have very different views than people in Wairika, which is not very far away from each other. And they're all a part of the so-called State of Jefferson. But there are, it's very interesting that many, many people consider themselves residents of the State of Jefferson and yet have very different views. I think there is just a general ownership of the area, but what exactly that means really, really varies.
Some people are really angry about this, aren't they? I mean, did you get some people who are really worked up on camera with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There, especially in Northern California, there are definitely people that are very unhappy about how their state government is run and to a degree how the federal government is run and the regulations that they do not think should apply to them. And they really want to make their own state and try to determine for themselves what their rules and regulations should be.
It seems like philosophically, politically perhaps, and almost geographically that some of the corners, for example, of Del Norte County and Western Siskiyou County are about as far from Sacramento in ways other than simple distance that you
yes.
can get.
Yes, absolutely.
I wonder if in preparing other works for Oregon Experience, if you've run across similar feelings, for example, in remote parts of Eastern Oregon, where, for example, they're so much closer to Idaho. Mm-hmm. And we'll consider Boise as their regional center much more than any city in Oregon. I wonder if you've run across similar sorts of feelings, maybe not rising to the level of actually naming the state, the
right.
mythical state, but if you've found similar stuff like that out there.
Not in the same way. I think certainly different regions feel a sense of cohesiveness in their own region and a separation from other areas. And certainly, you know, that again, that that urban-rural divide really exists. So places in eastern Oregon are going to feel more akin to other places in Idaho and things like that that they're maybe more close to. But it's certainly nothing like the state of Jefferson. It is kind of unique to this area, you know, possibly because they have been talking about it for so long. But I think that that idea of separation is not unique.
Was there a deliberate attempt to make sure that this didn't air right around the election? Because Lord knows, from some of the comments I've read, both in newspaper letters and online, indicate that people in parts of rural Oregon are angry once again about the fact that they feel like Portland gets to make all the decisions and the rest of the state is just left out in the cold.
Right. And I've heard that. Certainly we did a screening in Klamath Falls a couple of days ago, and that's what people were saying there. No, there wasn't any deliberate attempt to not air it around the election time. This is how it ended up. November is always the beginning of our season. This is our ninth season, and I had nothing to do with the scheduling of it.
Okay. I'm just curious if there was some level of caution there. So tell us about the screenings. You had two in Klamath Falls the other day, is that right?
That's right, at the Ross Ragland Theater in cooperation with Southern Oregon Public Television and the Klamath County Historical Society and Museums, which are always really very supportive and a big help. And it's really wonderful in that I can, you know, call them up and ask them for images and things, and they so generously share those. That really helps me. So we got probably about 100 people for the screenings over there. And then we're doing a screening tonight here at Southern Oregon University at the Meese Auditorium at 7 o'clock. So I hope people turn out for that.
7 o'clock Meese Auditorium?
That's right.
At the Arts Building?
Yes.
Okay. Not the Meese Room in the library. Okay.
No.
Okay. There are a lot of Meese things on the Southern Oregon University campus. We have found it often the hard way.
Oh, okay.
All right. So the Meese Auditorium at 7 o'clock tonight, and they'll be there for half an hour. Will there be discussion that goes along with this as well?
Yes. There's a question and answer afterwards. I'm always happy to answer any questions that I possibly can. And, you know, that's always part of the funnest part of these is being able to tell other stories and to get feedback and to see what people think of things.
What kinds of reactions did you get? What sorts of questions did you get from the two screenings in Klamath Falls? I'm curious.
You know, people want to know why we're doing it now. They want to know, you know, like you had asked, how realistic the 1941 thing was, if Jefferson would have actually have happened. My thoughts on if it actually would happen. Had some people asking me, you know, what people in Portland and the Willamette Valley think of Jefferson, and you know, I can only speculate as to that, but I think there's an interest for sure.
Peter Laufer, was he a major source for the book, given the level of research that he put into his book about the state of Jefferson?
Yeah, he was a wonderful interview. I spoke with him. I of course, read his book and used some of his resources and spoke with him for the piece, and he had just so many amazing stories that, you know, we couldn't get into. And he's the one who actually first told me about Stanton Delaplane. And so it was through him that I was able to track down an oral history with Stanton Delaplane and him talking about his involvement in 1941.
How did Stanton Delaplane characterize it in his own papers?
He really, it's fun to listen to the oral history because he's really kind of just laughing about it all. And, you know, it was certainly an interesting period for him. He wrote seven article series on the state of Jefferson, ended up winning a big award for it. And, I think he really enjoyed it and it was a lot of fun for him.
There must have been a number of, whoa, didn't realize that had happened, points along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, going back to those earliest things in the 1800s, you know, the miners and the earliest loggers that were here in the area that the miners here in the area didn't want to pay any taxes to anyone. And so they would say that they were in Oregon, or they would say they were in California in order to avoid paying taxes in either side. So they would continually kind of change the line as to where they were living. So, you know, there's lots of fun stories like that.
Did you notice a particular cycle? I'm just curious to know if there are just certain years, or I mean, you know, if there's a span of like 30 years between times when the state of Jefferson idea seems to take hold again. It certainly never goes completely away.
Right.
That double cross flag never seems to be too far away. It always seems to be on sale someplace in the area.
I think it comes up again when there's an economic downturn. I think that people in the region start to think that they can help themselves out better than the governments can. You know, we saw it in 1941 before World War II, obviously, but, you know, that area was living through the Depression. There are some amazing photographs taken by Dorothea Lange, who is a famous photographer who documented the Depression era. And there are some amazing photographs in Tule Lake and in Siskiyou County of Depression in the area. And so I think that's what sparked that. And then again, in the 1970s, it came up again, and now it seems to be coming up again now.
We had Dorothea Lange's goddaughter on, presenting a book about what happened. Let me see if we can fit in a quick call here from Grumpy John in Grants Pass. So grab your headphones so you can hear him.
Oh, sure.
Grumpy John, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks. You know, I love the romanticism of it, but if you look at the facts that Grants Pass was the center of the Ku Klux Klan, et cetera, this and the Confederate sympathies of the time, it's probably a good thing that they didn't institutionalize another Alabama in Oregon, California. If you look at the population, it was ignorant, racist, and it would have been a very bad idea.
All right. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. Appreciate it. Well, did you hear a few comments like that along the way as you put together the documentary?
Well, it was interesting to do the research about those racist attitudes in the 1850s, for sure, and the Southern sympathizers, because many people who came and settled in the area or were gold miners did come from the South. And so there was that sympathy towards the Confederacy, at least in that time.
Oregon Experience, State of Jefferson, airing on Monday on both Oregon Public Broadcasting and on Southern Oregon Public TV, same time on both?
That's right.
At what time?
At 9 o'clock.
And then you can see the preview. Is that tonight at 7 o'clock?
Yes, 7 o'clock.
At the Meese Auditorium at the Arts Building on the Southern Oregon University campus. Cami Horton produced State of Jefferson for Oregon Experience. Thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson
Exchange. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. That'll do it for this segment of The Exchange. We'll take a short break and come back with the Writer's Almanac.